The greatest homage I can pay to myself is to use me. Sounds like a contrary type idea, doesn't it? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. The greatest homage I can pay myself is to use me.
What is homage?
We have the opportunity to pretend we're somebody else. And this is what so many people are taught. And this is what so many books about great people are. And everybody says they want to have a role model. They want to have a role model. So they take these titans of industry who are successful and who have a good reputation, and then you say, how did they grow up? What did they do? How did they arrive at their point? And then you look at people like Jesus, or you look at the Buddha, or you look at these other spiritual masters and spiritual leaders, and you say, how did they grow up? Well, you're not going to grow up like any of those people, and you're not going to have the experiences of any of those people, because right now, it is impossible for you to be like them, and you don't want to, because they did not have the opportunity that you have today to be yourself. They did not have the opportunity you have today to utilize your brain, to utilize your mind, to utilize your body in its most marvelous ways, the most magnificent ways you could ever imagine. And if you don't use yourself, if you don't use yourself to the fullest, you always feel just a little bit, you know, I didn't quite do what I could have. And if you, it's not a matter that you're a success or a failure. It's not a matter that you have great ambitions and you carry them out. It's only a matter that within each one of us is a perfect peace. And that perfect peace is who we really are, which is a balance, which is harmony, which is order, which is wonderment, which is delight in all the universe about us, not interested in how to change it, not interested in exploring the universe, not interested in anything except just observing and saying, isn't that interesting? And maybe jumping on a rocket and going to Mars or the moon and looking around and seeing what's there, and you say, that's interesting, you know. It's just a good trip, but why not jump into yourself? Jump right into your own self and use yourself to your highest and greatest potential. There's a great deal of study going on these days about the brain, and they look at Einstein's brain, because Einstein's birthday was a couple of days ago, the anniversary of his death, you know, and he's a most marvelous man and an idiot in many, many ways, because he didn't fulfill what other people wanted him to do. He just did what he wanted to do. He just did what came to him as the important thing to do. When he was 25, he wrote 4 major theses on scientific discoveries that are still boggling the mind of scientists today. They're absolutely magnificent, absolutely wonderful. But now, how did he do that? Well, you see, he was not inhibited. They kicked him out of school. He was not inhibited by whatever the teachers tried to say. You've got to memorize these, and you've got to learn these things, you've got to do these things. He, from the very get-go, I believe, listened within. He, from the very outset of his life, he listened to the divine in him. He may not have called it that, but he listened to that magic within him that said, oh, hey, try this idea. Isn't this fascinating? Work these ideas. And he listened. And as he listened, he was able to write it down and perform these absolute unbelievable miracles. And now you see, they say about the failure that he made, it is now being proved to be one of the greatest scientific discoveries that ever came. It's just that science wasn't ready to accept what they called his failure, because they could not conceive of something being like that. And it's very interesting. I think that studying him is fascinating only from the point of view of seeing a free spirit, of seeing an unlimited being. What he did is unimportant. And the world is going to open and close without the monumental ideas that he brings forth. But the development of scientists and the development of thought is enjoying using what he has done so far. And that's kind of fun. But what is it? What is it that he did? He listened within. What is it that we can do? We can listen within. And we can do what we say. The greatest homage I pay to myself is to use me. So, first you say, who are you? And you say, you're divine. Okay? That's good. Good start. And then you say, what is this body I have here? This thing here that I live in. What's it for? We say, how can I use my body to its finest and greatest potential? How can I use my body to do everything I want to do with it? Well, the first thing you do is to love it and respect it and honor it and serve it with whatever its needs are, whether its needs are hygiene, whether its needs are food, whether its needs are emotions, whether its needs are relationships, or whether its needs are whatever its needs may be, on the intellectual level or whatever, and serve it. Now, some people are brilliant, absolutely brilliant. They are unlimited in their minds. Well, now, they go for that area. They go for that area. But at the same time, think about this. I just happened to think of it. Of all the brilliant, super brilliant people on earth who are exercising their brilliance in whatever they feel is important for them to exercise it, not just Mensa people. Mensa people are brilliant, but they don't necessarily use it, you know? But say, a brilliant person who's really using it. Think of whatever you can of brilliant people. Are they fat? Are they overweight? Are they unhealthy? Are they sick? Are they with problems in their body at all? No. Think about it. I think we could probably do a research on that, and you'd find that people who are absolutely brilliant don't have time for that. They just expect their body to be perfect all the time. See what I mean? They expect their body to be perfect. But the average person expects their body to have whatever people think is what they have to have. But a brilliant person doesn't. Now, can an average person be a brilliant person? True. All he has to do is tap his inner resource. And you tap your inner resource by going to it. Now, if you have a spring on your property, and you're buying bottled water, and you're buying water from the city, and all that sort of stuff, and you have this spring on your property, artesian-type well spring, and the water is just always coming up, and you're not using it, that's rather foolish, isn't it? A beautiful, pure water that is just absolutely succulent. You have the finest water, better than the city water with the chlorine in it, better than the bottled water with all the minerals out of it, you know? But the thing is, here, this beautiful artesian well, it's right in your yard there, and you think it's so pretty, you build a fish pond around it, and you let the kids go swimming in the pond, and the water keeps feeding the pond and makes it go, but it drains away, but then it's so nice, and you think, oh, isn't that wonderful? Now, that is like our genius within us. It's that artesian well within us of all knowledge. And if we start to train our attention to beware and use ourselves on that artesian well, and use ourselves on that brilliance within us, we will have it. Now, it's not a matter that we learn something from the outside. It's a matter that we learn something from the inside. For our greatest teacher is within us. And all knowledge is within us, for we are one. These things we know, these things we realize, but because we don't practice it, and because we just don't put it to work, nothing happens. Like one of our students just wrote, he says, I love taking these courses, and I'm working on my master's or doctorate. What's he working on?
Doctorate.
I'm working on my doctorate, and I want that more than anything in the world. But I've got to go about my daily activities, and I've got to go about making a little bit of money so I can live after my retirement, and I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to do this. And so but I want that course more than anything in the world. Well, you see, the very fact that he's not doing it means he doesn't want it. If he truly wanted it, it would take precedence, as the previous courses did for him. They took precedence over everything, and he did them beautifully and well. He does beautiful work, but the thing is, he's allowing himself to be distracted by his 7 or 8 children and by his wife and all the activities that she is involved in and he's involved in with her and so forth and so on. And you see, he's not one-pointed. Once he has his doctorate, once he has this completed, then he will go on and apply it. But right now, he's developing it and achieving it and earning it. And that's the beauty. So how do you use yourself? You use yourself by finding out first who you are and finding out that you like yourself and finding out that there is nothing outside of you that can help you develop your inside. You have to do that by going privately within in your introspective time, listening to the divine in you speak. And if you don't do that, you will never hear the divine in you speak. And if you don't hear the divine in you speak, then you're going to be just a product of race consciousness, just a product of what everybody feels, everybody thinks, and everybody is. Kind of interesting in them, but so it goes. That's part of the way life is and part of the way we live our life. Are you ready for enjoying your own life?
Yes.
Are you ready to, the greatest homage you can pay to yourself is to use yourself?
Yes.
The greatest homage I can pay myself is to use me. Mm-hmm. It takes a little bit of changing your attitude to do that. But you can do it. I do it. And I love you. I love you.
I love you.